Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Listen, I just want to, I thanked them this morning, but I want to do it again in front of our second service. I want to thank a couple of the guys this week. I was sick this past Thursday. If you were at our Thursday evening service, I had a couple of guys stand up at the very last minute. Ken Hale and Josh Mumaw and Larry even offered to preach this morning, but we just had a bug go through our house, and it put us down. And so thank you guys for, last minute, I think I called Josh Mumaw at like 3 o'clock that night, and he delivered the message. So I'm grateful to have guys in our church that I can call, and I know that they're willing to stand up and preach God's word when we need it. So thank you guys for that, and I'm grateful for all of you and the prayers and just checking in on us over the last couple days. Listen, you know what makes this day so special? Guys, the tomb's still empty. Amen? The tomb is empty. Even after 2,000 years, there isn't a body there. You can go check. You can go yourself. You can send someone else. There's no body. They might have nailed Jesus to a cross. They might have hung him there to die. But praise Jesus, that's not the end of the story. That's only the beginning. The tomb, it's empty. And as we come together this morning, we come together because of that truth. It's the climax of God's purposed plan and man's redemption. The resurrection of Jesus, it proved that his death, it did in fact pay for the wages of our sin. It proved that he did have victory over death. As it proved that eternal life, it's a real reality for us. The resurrection of Christ, it's the cornerstone of our faith. Everything about who we are, everything about what we have in him, everything we hope in, guys, it hinges on that one reality. There's no Christianity if there's no resurrection. That's why for years and years, men have tried their very best to prove that it's not true. But for over 2,000 years, no one's been able to accomplish that. In fact, it's just pointed people to him. Listen, all of Scripture, it points to the resurrection of Jesus. From cover to cover, that's always been the message. It's a message about hope. It's a message that death isn't the end for those who belong to God. Death, it has no sting. For the believer, death, it's just a transition that leads to an eternity with God. Listen, understanding the importance of Easter and the importance of the resurrection, it's critical for us as believers. It's important because without the resurrection, we have nothing else. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." As the resurrection is crucial to us. And the resurrection of Jesus, it's the single greatest event in the history of our world. It's so foundational to our faith that if you were to deny it, it's impossible for you to be called his. It's impossible to be a Christian. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. There is no salvation. There is no hope. That's why Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even when he dies." And so as we gather together on this Resurrection Sunday, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open them up with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We're going to be looking at the first 10 verses here this morning, looking at this story about the empty tomb. Listen, as you turn there, if you're there with me, let's stand together as we read, starting in verse 1. It says this. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them there and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I think you can be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this text and look at the empty tomb, the accounts that are surrounding the empty tomb, and we think about this day, a day very much like this morning, 2,000 years ago, where your followers, they came and they found that there was nobody there. Well, we praise you for the resurrection. We praise you because of that truth. We understand as your people that is where our hope lies. We know the power. We know the might. We know how awesome you are. Lord, this morning we proclaim you. Our goal is to make much of you. And Lord, we are here to proclaim that truth, that gospel message, the same message that is changing lives, the same message that has changed lives for over 2,000 years. Lord, we're going to preach that message this morning. And so, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Allow my words to be honoring to you and allow us to be different as we leave this morning. And so, Lord, be with us now. Fill us. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So, as if the resurrection is so critical to our faith, the real question for us then is, how does it affect us? How does it motivate us? How does it drive us today? So if you're ready, let's dive into this text. Question number one, does the resurrection affect you? Look at the first parts of this passage with me again. There's four things going on here. The earth's affected. You see the angel of the Lord, he's affected. You have the Roman guards, they're affected by the resurrection of Jesus. And of course, the two Marys, they're affected, right? And so verse 1, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, which if you're using context here, she's the mother of James and Joseph. We see that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 56. These women, they're going to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus. Because remember, they couldn't do anything on Saturday because in the Jewish culture, that was their Sabbath. And so they wake up early on Sunday morning and they go straight to the tomb to do this. Listen, when they get there, that's when Jesus is raised from the dead. Verse 2, it says, "And behold," meaning it happened right then when the women get there, "there was a great earthquake." Listen, when Jesus raised from the dead, I want you to understand that everything was affected. First, it was the earth. Guys, at the resurrection of Jesus, the one whom through whom everything was created, as John 1 says, the earth shook and it trembled violently. If you were with us last week, you remember the word that we looked at to describe the uproar among the people in Jerusalem as Jesus rode into town on a donkey. It says they were stirred up. There was an uproar. It's the same idea here. Now the earth itself was in an uproar at the raising of Jesus. Even the earth couldn't remain still. The ground quaked, the rocks erupted, the earth cracked. All of nature was impacted by the resurrection of Jesus. The earth trembled in sorrow at the crucifixion, if you know the story, but it leaped for joy at the resurrection of Christ. This earthquake, it's attesting to the cosmic significance of this event. And then it says, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. So when I was a kid, I used to wake up every morning and watch those superhero cartoons, right? Any of you guys do that? It was a routine. I did it every Saturday. And as I read this passage, that's kind of the picture that I get here with this angel. He comes down from heaven, shafts of lightning, they're blazing off of this guy. His clothes, they were shimmering like newly fallen snow. And I'll be honest, this is the first time that I've read that and I've really understood like newly fallen snow. Listen, when I was down south, I didn't know what that meant. But I can read it now and actually put myself in this situation, right? But check this out. This guy, he single-handedly rolls away the stone that was meant to keep Jesus' body entombed. By himself. He was meant to, it was there so that no one could steal his body. That's why the guards were present. But he moves it aside all by himself, like nobody else's business. He's like a superhero. Listen, he moves the stone not to let Jesus out. No, Jesus was already out on his own. He moved the stone to let the women in, to show proof that it was empty. Because that's just what God does. And then he sits on top the rock to kind of show off God's work. Listen, has God ever moved in your life where it was so evident to you that you just had to kind of like show it off and strut around and be like, yep, that was my God. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just know, like, that was God moving in my life, right? That's what this angel's doing here. He's like, look at my God. You thought you had the last laugh, but joke's on you. The tomb's empty. You thought you killed him. Look who's laughing now. My God's mighty. My God's awesome. And he's just sitting there waiting. His women come up and see this angel sitting there. And then, of course, you got the guards who are affected by the resurrection as well. It says, and for fear of him or for fear of the angel, that the guards trembled and became like dead men. These guys, they're standing guard outside the tomb, making sure no one comes and robs Jesus' body. And then all of a sudden, this angel, he burst out of the sky like lightning. Now, I want you to put yourself in these Roman soldiers' shoes. They're doing what they were told to do, right? They're guarding the tomb. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and angels aren't these pretty, like, kids with wings, you know, like we draw up in our pictures. They're God's warriors. They are fierce. That's why every time they come in contact with a human, they say what? They say it in this passage too. Fear not. They're scary. Right? And so when you're standing guard doing, you think this is going to be an easy job. There's a dead man behind me. All of a sudden this thing burst out of the sky. Looks like it's probably going to eat you. Listen, I'm just telling you, if I'm the soldier, I'm probably going to poop myself. Right? Like, be for real. That's the situation they're in. And it says that they're like dead men, which is kind of ironic because here they are guarding a dead body and they become like dead men themselves. I love how God works. It's kind of ironic. But then we have these women. Story continues. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. Like, see, I did my job. Then verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. So at the resurrection, the women were affected as well. They came to anoint the body of Jesus with spices to give him an appropriate embalming. They get there. They see this angel. They see the stone rolled away. I'm sure they're on the way there thinking, how are we going to get this stone open? How are we even going to get to the body of Jesus? They see the stone rolled away. They see a physical empty tomb. And it says they're filled with wonder and joy. That word for fear there, it's a great sense of wonder. It's a sense of awe and amazement. They're in wonder and feel this sense of joy as the good news of the resurrection. It becomes their message to share now. So everyone and everything present that day at the resurrection, they felt the effect of that event. Everything. I mean, it was the greatest event to have ever occurred. Everything was impacted by that day and that event. And so listen, what's this mean for us? It's an Easter. It's the most attended church day of the entire year. Churches across our nation, they're going to report the highest attendance they've had all year and will have the rest of the year. It's more attended than Christmas. It's It's the highest attended church day of the year. There's something special about it, and rightly so. People, unbelievers and believers alike, they see the resurrection as something special, worthy of their time, worthy of their energy. When you hear about Jesus being raised from the dead, the pinnacle of the Christian faith, what kind of effect does it have on you? Do you hear this story, one of the most supported stories in the history of our world? So much evidence both in the Bible and outside of it. I mean, you don't even need the Bible to look for proof about the resurrection. You can go to secular sources and find that there was a man named Jesus. He died and he was seen after his death. Go read Josephus. He's just one account. There are plenty of accounts. It's one of the most recorded events in the history of our world. Do you hear that? And do you walk away affected by it? Knowing that Jesus did in fact raise from the dead as Christians, as believers, it reminds us that our hope, it's in that same resurrection. This story that we're reading about, that's where our hope lies. Because just like Jesus, we'll experience a very physical resurrection of our own one day. Or even as an unbeliever, knowing that the resurrection of Jesus happened, it should give you the reality that death and suffering, it's real. And that's what awaits us if we remain separated from Christ today. Our sin, because we're all fallen, it dooms us to an eternal hell. The resurrection, it reminds us of our need for a Savior. And it points us to the only true God. So, how does the resurrection affect you? Because just like everything else in this story, whether it's a positive or a negative, the resurrection of Jesus, it affects you in some way, one way or another. Question number two, does the resurrection motivate you? So praying that the resurrection points you to Jesus in his saving work, what does it motivate you to do? Look at verse 7 and 8 with me again. The angel said, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." And then the women responded, so they departed quickly from the tomb. Listen, when these ladies get to the tomb, and when they see the angel and the fact that Jesus' body isn't there, it's a whole new world for them. Like everything changed. It's a world where death, it doesn't have the last word anymore. It's a world where injustice and suffering, they're made right and vindicated because of the intrusion of a powerful God. Guys, these women, they saw Jesus tortured. They saw it firsthand. They saw his body beaten and mangled. They witnessed it. They saw Jesus as he carried the cross through Jerusalem to a hill called Calvary. It was very real. It wasn't just a story to them. They witnessed as Jesus' wrist and his ankles were nailed to that cross. They were there when he took his last breath and he looked up to the heavens and he said, "It is finished." They were there when the Roman soldiers stabbed Jesus in the side to make sure that he was really dead. They watched as the Romans removed his lifeless body from the cross. There was no question whether or not Jesus was dead. They saw it. They witnessed it. And so this news of the empty tomb, it changed everything for them. It gave meaning to everything Jesus had said and taught. It meant eternity was real. It meant their sins could really be forgiven. It meant that they had the ability to be made new, just like Jesus said, to be reborn. As the empty tomb, it meant everything to these women. Everything. And look at what the text says they did at the news of Jesus' resurrection, verse 8. So they departed quickly. Guys, at the greatest news that they could have possibly ever received, it motivated them to go and share that news. And listen, that was the very first thing they could think to do. They heard the gospel, or they heard about the gospel. They experienced the resurrection of Jesus, and it caused them to want to obey the command to go and tell the disciples. It says they went quickly. They didn't hesitate. They didn't stop and ask questions. They just went and did what they knew would honor Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning, you've placed your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. You've been made new. I want you to see this. You're a believer. You consider yourself a Christian. God could have sent the angel directly to the disciples himself. He could have. Jesus could have just appeared to them and revealed himself to them. Right? But instead, the angel shared the greatest news of all, the good news of Jesus, with these two women. And he gave them a command to go and tell the disciples. It was those women. It was the women's responsibility to go and share this news. Guys, since the resurrection of Jesus, our responsibilities, it's not changed. It's always been the same, to share the message of hope and salvation to the hurting. At this time, his disciples were hurting. They knew Jesus was like their very best friend. They had walked with him for years. They're hurting. Guys, it's up to us. It's our job to share the resurrection, the gospel message to those that don't belong to him. In fact, if we never do, then those around us will never know. That's the most hateful thing we could possibly do to the people that God's placed around us. If we truly believe that the tomb is empty today and we can seal it to ourselves as believers, we talk about it one Sunday morning out of the year, it's the most hateful thing that we can do as a believer. To have a message that has the impact to change a life and keep it to ourselves. If we really wish to see a community impacted by the kingdom of God, it's going to start with us being obedient to the command to go. It's the same command. You've heard about the gospel. You've experienced the resurrection through the power of the Spirit. Jesus says, go. Make disciples. Here's the deal. If we've been positively impacted by the resurrection and the good news of Jesus, then it'll motivate us to share that with others. And if we lack that motivation, here's the reality. We've not truly experienced the resurrection of Christ. Because just as we've seen, you can't experience it and not be changed by it. You understand? Because when we truly experience the resurrection of Christ and understand its significance, everything in your life changes. Everything. If you saw me 15 years ago before I came to know Jesus, you'd be like, who is this guy? Right? And I'm sure so many of you guys have this similar story. Some of the people you saw being baptized this morning, you could see even the huge transitions in their life in a short amount of time because Jesus changes everything for you. Listen, if you're here today and you've not turned to Jesus, the realization of the resurrection, the belief in Jesus raising from the dead, turning to Jesus through the Spirit of God, it has the ability to change everything about who you are if you just give your heart to him. That's what he cares about. The truth about the resurrection has the ability to alter your life forever and motivate you to things that will truly bring you joy and satisfaction. I mean, just like we see here with these two Marys, the resurrection brought them real, lasting joy. They were at probably their worst moment of their life, and the empty tomb brought them to their highest moment of their life. Do you understand? Which leads us into our final question. Does the resurrection drive you? Or better yet, what does it drive you to? Look at verse 9 with me again. It says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Listen, when they heard about the resurrection, they left the tomb as quick as they could. That news, it motivated them to do what they were told to do. Listen, I believe it also motivated them to go and see for themselves if it was really true. I mean, that's just human nature, right? We all want to validate that for ourselves when we hear things like that. We want to see it with our two eyes. The angel said Jesus would be there. I want to see it for myself. I think that was part of the motivation. And listen, when they get there, who do they find? Jesus. They're in the flesh. And it says at that moment, wow, this is real. He's real. I'm sure, like, he's not a ghost. Like, he's real. He's in the flesh. And they realize for themselves the resurrection was in fact true. They fall at the feet of Jesus and they begin to worship him. Listen, guys, for us, it's no different. When we find out for ourselves that everything the Bible teaches is true, when the Spirit of God gives us that understanding and when we feel Him moving in our hearts in a very real way, a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. When we experience the resurrection for ourselves, as it drives us to worship Him. Because it's in that moment we realize who we are. We realize who He is. We realize that we are sinful. We realize that He is righteous and that He is holy. And yet we also see for the very first time that separated state, it didn't stop God from doing everything in His power to bring us back to Him. We see all of that. That's what the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus are all about. And even today, God's still revealing Himself to us in a very real way. That's what His Word is for. That's what the Spirit has done in a lot of our lives and may even be doing right now. So when you give in to that, when you finally believe in Jesus and His resurrection, when you finally let go and repent of your sins, when you turn to Him, it'll drive you to worship Him because you realize exactly who He is in that moment. In that realization, it changes everything about who you are. Listen again, Easter's the most attended church day of the year because believers and non-believers, they recognize there's something very special about this day. And even at the notion of the resurrection, it drives us to worship. I mean, imagine experiencing it firsthand. For some of us, we have. We felt that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have felt that same power in us. And listen, when you think about that, and I'm talking to the believer, the Christian here right now, what has it driven you to do? How has it changed you? How does it continue to change you? Because if you're still the same, what does that say about you? Listen, as these women worshipped Him, I love how this passage ends. Look at verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Guys, this is the heart of Jesus. Here's these women. I picture them on their faces worshiping their risen Savior, bowing down, giving Him the honor that any earthly king would have expected and deserved, right? I mean, you just saw a man raised from the dead. Of course, I mean, I'm going to be down worshiping as well. And He tells them to get up and go tell His brothers and to go to Galilee. If you know the story, He would find the disciples going back to what they knew. They were all out fishing and He's on the shore and He cooks some breakfast and he has some dialogue between them. Listen, here's what Jesus is showing us here in this account. True worship, it's walking in relationship with Him. That's what He wants. He wants our hearts. He's not some egotistical God. That's not who He is. Everything He did, everything that He endured on the cross, everything He went through was because He desires you. He desires to be with you. True worship, as Jesus said in the gospel accounts, it's following Him. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And he says, in other places, He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. He wants you to walk alongside of Him. He wants you to trust that He knows what's best for your life. I mean, isn't that what we've been looking at if you've been with us going through the Genesis accounts? When God created us, right? Wouldn't He know what's best for us? Certainly. We saw that all through chapter 2 in Genesis. Listen, that's what the resurrection was all about. That's why He came. That's why He did all the things He did. It's reminding us that our flesh, our opinions, what we want, it's all leading us down a path of destruction. And only God truly knows what's good for us. You may find a temporary happiness in this world. You may find temporary satisfactions and joy. But only God can give us one that's lasting. As the resurrection, it's a reminder that only God is truly good for us. And only He is capable of giving you what you really need. Only God can give us a life of joy and satisfaction. Only God can fill the void in our lives. And so, as the Bible says time and time again, repent and believe. That's as simple as it is. You want to know Jesus? Repent and believe. There's not any sacraments we have to do. There's not any good works. There's not anything that we specifically have to do. Jesus and several other people in the Bible, they say repent and believe. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Think about that. Listen, as you think about the resurrection, would you search your heart? Maybe you've heard the gospel over and over, but you realize you've never really placed your trust and faith in Jesus. You've never really repented. You've not really turned to Him. Guys, could I challenge you this morning? Let today, let Resurrection Sunday be that day. Let today be the day that Jesus changes everything for you. Listen, just this morning, you got a chance to see firsthand how Jesus is still changing lives. The same message that He gave us 2,000 years ago is the same message that's changing lives today. And it'll be the same message that changes lives until He comes back. He can absolutely do the same thing for you. He can. But you have to repent and believe. You have to turn from yourself. You have to recognize that on your own, you're sinful. You're separated from God. It's understanding that because of your sin, you deserve punishment and death. Which you will receive if something doesn't change. It's that realization that should really drive you to turn to Him. But then it's believing what He said and taught in the New Testament. It's believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That He did come and live a perfect and sinless life. That He did go to a cross. Where He was beaten and tortured. It's believing that He did die there, carrying the weight of our sin and our punishment. It's believing. It's believing that He rose on the third day. Believe that Jesus is who He says He is and that He alone has the power to save you, to make you new, to give you a new life. Jesus says, I am the way. Not anything else. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That's it. Me, Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. Nothing else. Guys, salvation can only come through Jesus. So I urge you, repent, believe. Don't wait until you can't make that decision any longer. Don't wait until it's too late. Listen, maybe even now, the Spirit of God, you can feel it in your heart. It's the weirdest thing you've ever felt, but you know there's something going on and He's tugging at you. He wants you to come to Him. And maybe even now you can feel the real weight of your sin for the very first time in your life. You feel the guilt. You feel the shame. You're hurt. You're broken. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, nobody else understands. They don't know what I've gone through. And you're probably right. But you know who does? The Spirit that's tugging at you right now. He says, I know. I've endured so much. Come to Me and find rest for your souls. Come to Me. That's what makes our God so great. You got to make that decision to come. He's revealing Himself to you. He's allowing you to feel the same power that rose His Son from the grave. But you got to respond to that. So if that's you this morning, maybe you feel it now. I want to ask you, stand up. Come down and I'm down front. Come tell me, Pastor Stephen, I want Jesus. I want to be different. I want Him to change me. Would you do that this morning? Look, I know it's scary. There's people here. No one's looking around. It's the greatest decision you could possibly make. That's what we were doing this morning. We were celebrating. We want to celebrate with you. And so if that's you, would you come? So no one's looking around. Wendy's going to play. You got the next few minutes, but I'm urging you. If God is working on your heart right now, you come and let Him change everything. This is your time.